So here we are, a wonderful day in the neighborhood. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with Instant Illumination. Our topic, My Life Appears to Be a Dream. It is real. My life appears to be a dream. It is real. We look at our life and we think that our life is a dream. We look at all of the things that are going on in our world and we think it's a dream. Oftentimes Ellen is driving with me and she'll say, oh, are we here already? What happened? Where'd the time go? You know, it's all gone. And it seemed like that it appeared to be a dream, but it's real. It was a dream that we traveled so quickly from point to point, but it was real. Now, what about your experiences of what appears to be a dream, but it's real? Did you think that you didn't know the answers to some questions, and then you listened to your divine self within and the answer came? How many times have you just, somebody said, get up and give a talk? Carol Ellsworth would oftentimes say when I would come visit her church, Herb, give the morning lecture. Well, and I'd say, what's your subject? And she'd say, spiritual healing or wholeness or something. And so I'd get up and give a half-hour talk on spiritual healing and wholeness, and it would be exactly 30 minutes long. And her husband would say, how do you do that? Yeah, how do you do that? And I'd say, well, it's my subject, you know. I think that I've learned from Toastmasters a very important point. I have not attended Toastmasters, but I've learned a very important point. Take any subject you want and talk about whatever you want. Take any subject that you want and introduce that subject, but then lean that subject into what you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you'll be an excellent speaker. So Ingeborg gives me a talk and she says, Herb, I would like you to talk about peanut butter. And I would say, excellent. So the thing that is so startling to me is how much my dog likes peanut butter. Now you see, I'm off on a different tack already. My dog thinks that peanut butter is just beautiful. Every time I bring out the jar of peanut butter, he says, I'm in that too, Dad, aren't I? You know, I'm in there too. You don't have to put it on any bread. That's good too, but just put it right on your finger and I'll lick it off, you know. And then it gets to the roof of his mouth. It gets right into the roof and he's gone clum, 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 you know, with his tongue trying to lick it off the roof of his mouth and get it cleaned off. And that's what I told my wife the other day. I said to my wife, you know, you should get a set of plates, upper and lower, for your false teeth, so that you'll be able to chew your food well and enjoy it, so that you don't have to lick with your tongue on the top and push things down after you've done it. And she said, well, I don't want to get false teeth, because if I get false teeth, then, you know, they're not pleasant, you know. I said, oh, yes, they are. They're very pleasant if you have them done right and have them done now. And I said, do it now, because I'm offering it to you. Well, she didn't. Well,
she didn't.
Huh?
She did not.
Then.
At the time.
This was several years ago. So now, and because of the medication she's taking, her teeth are falling apart. And there's no teeth left. She's got two teeth of any consequence on her lower gum. And the dentist says, well, leave them there for now so that there's something for that lower plate to hold on to. And I think that's poor judgment. But Medi-Cal is taking care of it and handling the whole thing, so that's all to the good. Now we'll see how that works out. But you see, this is how plates are made for your teeth. And this is how things are done. Now, you say, well, Herb, your subject was peanut butter, and you've come a long way from peanut butter. You've come all the way to the false teeth, and you've come away to the fact that you wanted your wife to do this years ago, and so forth and so on. Yes, isn't it interesting? And didn't it lead naturally one to the other? It just went right one to the other. You see, you really don't have to stick to what your original topic was. It's just a leader that moves you in to something fascinating to think about. But my life appears to be a dream, and it does. It appears to be a dream. In my mind, I was thinking just now of April 29th on Edith Mary's birthday. And on Edith Mary's birthday, I was in Lugano, or rather I was in wherever I was. Where was I?
Locarno.
Locarno, and in Switzerland. And I was at another lady's birthday. I was at Ingeborg Bolz's birthday. And at Ingeborg Bolz's birthday, it's like a dream. I went in there with her, and she went to her room and changed, and I went to mine, got my suit on, came out, and waited for a while. She didn't come, so I went to the pool. I can still see myself right now in that illusion in the pool. It appears like a dream. The water was just, you know, wonderfully warm. And all the children were playing around with their parents, and I was just swimming underneath the water from end to end of the pool, just like a turtle, you know, just so beautifully and so wonderfully, and so comfortable. And it's like a dream. It's like a dream. And, of course, it was a dream, because these were just one of the many illusions that I have in my life and that we all have. Now, is it real? Yes, it's real. Is it real? It's real all the time. Now, why is it we don't think it's real? Why is it we don't think that these illusions are real sometimes? We don't think that they're real because we think it's too good to be true. Now, if you were talking about money and you were saying to Bill Gates, you say, Bill, you dropped a $5 bill. And he'd say, it would cost me more in my time to pick up the $5 bill than it would be to go on and do my work. My time is worth far more per instant, per second, than it is to pick up a $5 bill. Is that your problem too, Sylvia?
Yeah, yep. So something like that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And so now you say, Sylvia, you're silly. Sylvia, you're silly. Sylvia said, is Bill Gates silly?
No.
No. Then why is Sylvia silly? Sylvia is silly only because you have not the imagination to see her doing it in that way. Now, if Sylvia indeed would walk by a $5 bill lying on the floor and not pick it up, you would think that she was silly, wouldn't you? You would think that she was not being realistic, not being, she's going around in a dream, so to speak, but not really. What she'd be doing would be living in her Bill Gates consciousness, and I don't want to say Bill Gates consciousness, in the consciousness of infinite abundance. Now, they say in the Bible that God knows when even a sparrow falls. Well, a human God knowing when even a sparrow falls is quite amazing. A God that knows human beings and knows when even a sparrow falls is quite amazing. Can you imagine the God that we understand, the universal allness, knowing when a sparrow falls? If God were to know when a sparrow falls, then God would not know all. Because how can any consciousness know everything and know each individual thing, you know? You see, we run into such fun topics there, and we lose our reality, and we fall into the dream world, and we see God doing these things. Have you seen the movie, Oh God, 1 or 2? Well, in the movie, Oh God, God gives this kid, he says, all right, you're God for a day. Or now you're God. I'm going on vacation. And God goes on vacation. And so this kid is...
God Almighty.
God Almighty, yeah. So that's what it was. And so this kid is in his... that's the other one. This kid is in his room, and he goes to his computer, and there comes all of the requests from people all over the world asking for help. And he looks at them and looks at them and looks at them. He asks God, what do you say to all these people? And God says, that you got to figure it out. And so this is what he said. He said one word. What do you think he said?
He's dumb.
Huh? He one word. Yes.
Yes.
He said yes. So he said yes to everybody who asked whatever they wanted. They wanted to be the richest man in the world and the richest woman in the world, and they all did. And so now all these people are the richest man and the richest woman in the world. They wanted to do different things, and many were the same, and so they overlapped. And so if he said all yes to all of them, then all of them began running into conflict with one another. Now, then what did he end up doing? He ended up doing saying, oh, it's too much for me. I'm going to kill myself. God killed himself. Sure. Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting movie, and it has a lot of interesting interplays in it where we try to humanize God. And they made a farce out of the humanization of God, because there's no way that an infinite being could do all the things that an infinite being must be and do and be human. You follow that?
Yeah.
You follow that? An infinite being cannot be human.
I know.
That's what I just got done saying. And we learned many ways in which an infinite being cannot be human. You know that?
No, but it's so human that it's not infinite.
We learned many ways that the infinite cannot be human in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You had that incredulous look on your face.
Well.
And the thing is, we did. We learned many ways. Now, could God be a janitor?
Sure.
Could God be a file clerk?
A what?
File clerk. With the file cabinet.
Sure.
Oh, you're saying yes, but and I say no. God can either be all or nothing.
But it can be all expressions.
Yeah, but if God is all expression, then it's not expressing as an individual concept.
It's not expressing. No, not as an individual concept.
That's just what I said. So God cannot be a janitor. God can be the concept of janitor, but not a janitor. God can be the concept of man, but not man. He can be the concept of woman, but not woman. So what I'm saying here is that what appears to be a dream is real. But we have to look at it from the right point of view. Look at it from the point of view of what?
Absolute.
Hmm?
Absolute.
Absolute's in a good phrase. But we look at it from the point of view of what? From the point of view of whether God is a relative being or an absolute being. Now, if you can conceive of God as a relative being, then that's all the bigger your God is. If you can conceive of God as an absolute being, then you cannot conceive of him as being a relative being. You follow me?
Yeah.
You cannot do that because he doesn't fit. And he doesn't mean anything. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit to be a relative being. And the reason it doesn't fit? Because whatever is all cannot be unique. And yet, everything that is unique is all. But while it's unique, it's not all. But yet it is all while it's unique, but it's not aware of its allness. The moment it's aware of its allness, it's not aware of its uniqueness, right?
Exactly.
All right? So, one kills the other.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be that way. Now, God is all. And as all, it is
it
all.
It is all.
But as all, it is not the uniqueness.
And yet it is.
Because the moment it becomes the uniqueness, it then loses its allness.
It is the uniqueness in as the allness.
It's the uniqueness in the allness. It's uniqueness
in the allness, yeah. That's true. But it is not the uniqueness
not the
as the allness.
Yeah.
It is not the expression of it. So we have to really be careful with these terms that we're using, because my life appears to be a dream, whereas it is really real. How does our life appear to be a dream? Our life appears to be a dream every time we think something is not so. Now, can you imagine yourself, let's say, water skiing?
Yes, yeah.
All right. Do you water ski?
Yes, yes.
No. Have you ever been water skiing?
No.
Well, see, so how can you say you can water ski? But you can water ski because that's your reality. You can do anything.
Because I can visualize it.
If you can visualize it, you
are. Yes, I can do it.
You can do it.
Oh, I do it.
And you do it.
Mm.
But you see, these are the way these things work. And they're so powerful, and they're so beautiful, and they're so fulfilling. But think about it. My life appears to be a dream, whereas it is real. Every time you look at any aspect of your life, you are looking at it from the relative point of view, and therefore you're looking at it from the limited point of view.
Right.
Every time you look at the totality of yourself, then you're looking at the allness, and you are living in the allness. Interesting, isn't that? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what is the reality? Is the reality the dream? Is the reality what you're doing every day? Or is the reality something else? And it is something else. What is it?
It's indescribable.
The reality is the concept.
Yeah.
See, the concept is indescribable, as you say, but the reality is the concept.
Yeah.
The concept is the allness, the concept is the isness, the concept is. The concept is not the uniqueness.
Uniqueness is the illusion.
The uniqueness, in fact, is the dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an interesting point of view, isn't it? Think about it. Those are fun things to concern ourselves with. And the more we concern ourselves with them, the more fascinating life appears to be for us, and the more fascinating that we appear to be in life. Okay, my life appears to be a dream, whereas it is real. Are you going to live in your dream, or are you going to live in the real, or are you going to live in both?
No, in one, in your real self, my real self. If I live in both, then I'm dualistic and I'm nothing.
That's exactly correct. Where are you living, Ingeborg?
The allness.
Where are you living?
In my real.
In my reality, right. Where are you living?
In my reality.
And Ellen?
In my reality.
Okay. In your allness, your reality. Fantastic. You guys really clue into these things very quickly. Now, let's see you apply it in your everyday life. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.